Good morning, beloved. Welcome to another edition of the St. Jude Missionary Baptist Church podcast. How important is the Word of God to you? I'm your host, Brother Henry S. Cotton Jr., also the pastor of St. Jude Missionary Baptist Church. And we look forward to spending a little time with you as we examine another issue or another topic that has been of discussion amongst not just the brethren, but different folks. And today we'll be looking at the topic in our series of relationships, and this one is marriage. We'll be talking about marriage. Before we go any further, let us pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to come together with others, Father, who want to know what you are saying about certain issues, certain topics. And today, the particular topic we're looking at is marriage. We're praying that you will guide our thoughts, our speech, open up our understanding that we might learn more about you and your ways. And then not just learn about them, Heavenly Father, we pray that we will take it in and follow your dictates on this and many other topics. I thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity to be here, Lord. I pray that you will guide my speech, my thoughts, and allow me, Lord, to say that which you would have to be said, void of my own personal pride and vanities and ego, Lord. But just praying as always, Father, that some soul, some person, somebody will be able to take in the wisdom from your word. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And are we going to cover this vast issue of marriage and these handful of minutes that we have set aside? No, but what I'm hoping is that it will, of course, prompt many more questions and comments, and we're willing to go on this topic as long as you think it's necessary. As long as you think it is, it will go on, and we'll continue to discuss it as long as I hear from you. And whether we do it by way of our podcast, by way of our blog on our website, or the Pastor's Corner, or whether it's through an exchange of information by way of emails or text or what have you. We want to continue in on this topic, and again on many others. This is what we do here. This is what we do, because everything we discuss, as always, is according to what the Word of God teaches. Okay, having said that, this is our fourth podcast, and some issues that I've been hearing, and have questions have come up. He said, "Well, what about marriage?" We can come up with a whole litany of questions just concerning marriage alone. Those who are thinking about getting married, those who are already married, those who have just gotten married, those who've been married maybe for a long time. There are different types of questions. So we can spend as much time as we want just talking on the topic of marriage. But we're going to look at something a little bit, a couple of things a little bit unique today. And having said the word unique, I'm going to be pulling taking some of the excerpts from an article that I had written, actually called, entitled, The Uniqueness of Marriage, I did write an article on that, and I'm going to be pulling from that. But I want to bring something out to you that some of you may be aware of, and you may find this amazing. Now we're living in a time that many of us who have logged in some years, we've been around a while, never thought we would experience. I mean, there's, like I said, so many things happening right now in so many areas of our living, of our lives, that we wouldn't dream we see. And there's one issue that is up that I've heard, and I'm not saying it's by millions of people, but enough that it caught my attention. Do you know that there's an idea going around that it might be good for people to enter into marriage contracts? Some of you are saying, well, is it marriage a contract? But this is the thing about this. I'm talking about the type of contract where people agree that, okay, we're going to be married for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever length of time that they put on it. And some of you are raising your eyebrows. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And not only that, there will be different clauses in there. For example, there are some who say, well, at the end of such time, this is what I've heard now. At the end of this contract, there's a clause that it can be renewed. If you put that in there, it can automatically be renewed unless somebody voids it at that time. If it's going to be renewed, does it come with another ceremony? Or, I mean, the list goes on and on. Some of you are saying this is ridiculous. What if there are children involved? Well, that's part of the contract also. Are you going to have children? Some have said, well, because you have to spend time knowing about each other, it could be in the contract that there will be no children until after the second year, third year, or unless the contract is renewed for this reason. Or there are things that can void the contract, and all the list goes on and on and on. And some of you are saying, that's ridiculous. But then again, there's some of you saying, that's something to think about. Now, the simple fact that we even given that some consideration, some thought, does it, what does that say about how our society has moved, and what our society actually thinks about marriage? You know, there's, like you said, like I mentioned, there are a lot of things that we thought we'd never, some of us that we'd never hear or even see. I've also heard, and I'm sure many of you have as well, is marriage really necessary in this day and time? Now, this is nothing new. This is not a new concept, a new thought at all. We've been hearing this openly. I can remember hearing this in the late 60s, especially in the early 70s. And you hear it often. Oh, I don't need a marriage to affirm our relationship. We don't need that. That's something that society has brought up, and all kinds of stuff like that. You know, and some of you are with that. Some of you are with it. And well, like I said, it's just amazing. It's just amazing the things that folks are saying and doing and willing to do under the name of marriage. But don't you find it strange that folks, a lot of people want to get married? And they, for some reason, they feel as though being married gives them some type of standing, even with God. I mean, think about this. You want to be married. You want to have some type of, I'll use the term, religious person perform this ceremony, or at least give you the traditional or ceremonial words coming from the Holy Bible, and that kind of makes you feel okay. God is okaying what we're doing. That in that vacuum. Now, why am I wording it this way? Because again, we see in this day and time, people engaging in what they think. How would you hear what I'm saying? And what they think is marriage sanctioned by God because someone has stood before them and said certain words, or maybe because they have done it in a certain place, a church, a temple, something like that. And that is like, okay, we got God's okay to do what we're doing. Doesn't matter what or how we're doing it. Doesn't matter. We have two men that are doing this, two women, two people who have not made a decision whether they want to be male or female, and all of this. Yet they want to stand up and say that we are married to kind of, co-sign what it is we're doing. And in the back of their minds, believe that this makes it better with God. Because yes, we're going to be engaging in certain activities together and certain things together. But if we're married, that's okay. And they believe that it's because they stand and say some words together, this makes them married in the sight of God. Now, I've said quite a few things in a short amount of time, but I want to go a little bit further. Now, I say to you that I'll be taking excerpts from an article, which, by the way, I will make readily available to whomever contacts me and lets me know that they want the entire article called The Uniqueness of Marriage. I want to share certain things from that. Okay. Now, first off, I want to say, and again, I'm quoting from this article that we wrote. It says we can talk about people who are friends, business partners, couples, betrothed, engaged, or whatever label we might want to place on their relationship, but there is no greater relationship between a man and woman than that of marriage. Marriage between a man and woman is the only union that God has sanctioned. I want you to hear this. Okay, the bond of marriage is so unique that God has blessed this bond in so many ways. Okay, from the very first union, that between the first man and the first woman, named Adam and Eve. I want you to hear what it says in Genesis, the second chapter, and just the 21st through the 24 verses. I'm reading this for the benefit of those who may not be in position to read it for themselves. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, saints, this is important, and friends and brethren, this is important. One, for those who believe the word of God. If you don't believe, okay, that the Holy Bible is the Word of God and you do not follow it, you don't believe it, then this means probably nothing to you. You're probably thinking that you can poke all kinds of holes in it because you don't really believe what it says, and believe that what it is saying is true. Well, for those of you who don't believe that the Holy Bible is the Word of God, you probably have turned this off or gone on doing whatever it is you intended to do. And that's fine. That's fine if that's your choice. You know, that's between you and your God, or you and you. I mean, whatever way you do. You know from the gate what this podcast is about. We make no issue about that. We don't hide it. We don't try to compromise it. We believe in what thus says the Word of God, which is the Holy Bible, and that's where we stand. When we look at this, what we just read in Genesis, we see a lot of very important things. We see that, okay, God made woman from man. Now, some looks at it as symbolically saying, okay, he took her, he made her from the rib of man because she's always to be by his side. That's a nice thought, and whether it's true or not, it is good. That's where he took her from his rib. God didn't take, rather, her from the outside part of his body, but from the inward part, you know, from that which is solid in man. Okay, you know, his rib, his bone, solid, and created her from that, made her from that, and that's fine. We got that. We notice that after God made her, presented her to the man. Now, some of you are saying, well, it was just to, excuse me, to put her in a position where a man had to stamp his approval on her. No, she was made. That's what she was. That's who she was. That's who she was going to be. He just presented it to her. And uniquely, just like we read in the scripture, where the church is presented to God as his bride, here we go. She's presented, his bride is presented to him. We get to read the first wedding vows, vows that declared what the woman's name is and why she has been given that name. We see that also in the scriptures. Okay. She's bone of, you know, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. What her name is, she could be called woman. Why was she called that? Because she came from man. You know, and then he also said, and this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. Now, that's so important because a person, a male or a female, nobody left their the protection of their father's home until they were united with their wife or with their husband. A woman coming up from a girl up into she's about to be married, was under the protection of her father and or brothers if she had them as she was, you know, coming up. And when she was to take on her husband would take her from mother and father, from under their protection, into their home, where she would be under the protection of her husband. That's just the way society was. And I know that there are many of you right now say, well, hey, you know, women are saying, hey, I'm liberated. I don't need to do this and do that. I don't need a man to protect me. I can protect. I'm not. That's another discussion. You know, even the word tells you, speaks on why you even think that way. You can say, well, I'm being chauvinistic. I'm being this, that, or whatever. You can say whatever you like. I'm going to just say what the word of God teaches. And that's a lesson for another time. And I'll be willing to address that. You know, let me know if that's something we need to talk about. We will. Have no problem doing it. Okay. So that's what, so when it says you would leave mother and father, that was very important. Even men, you didn't leave your father's home until you had a reason to. We know that things have changed throughout the centuries as far as when men leave and start their own. So we know, well, we understand all of that. But I'm just speaking on how things were and how the ordinance of marriage was designed around the way things were initially. And these things that man was saying, he also declares that in time the man and the woman will stand as one. They become one flesh. They stand as one. That right in there, that point right there alone is so important. It's so important. It's not just standing in agreement with everything the man says, or him standing with everything that she says. No, it's beyond that. He said when they stand as one flesh, they stand together. Not just in their ideals, in their ambitions, in their goals, and that they have set for themselves, not the goal that the man has set and the wife just comes along, or goals that she has and he just comes along. They stand together. This is part of what marriage is. They stand together. When we decide that we want to get married, okay, I'm speaking of people in general, we've shared certain things. That's why it's so important for us to be able to communicate leading up to marriage and during the marriage. There's something that I want to accomplish. I'm the husband. I want to accomplish certain things. Maybe I want to get a degree, or I want a certain certification, or a trip I want to take. I've always wanted to, but wasn't able to when I was younger. Now I'm in a position where I can. Let me speak with my wife and see if this is a trip that we are ready to take. It's not like I'm coming to her and say, you know what, I always wanted to go to Spain, and I can take off next week and I'm going. No, that's not standing as one. We need to talk about this. One, you know, I know I've shared this with you a long time ago, maybe when we first got married, and the years have gone by, and now we're in a position where we can do this. Do you still want to go on this trip? She might say yes. Can you go this week? That's not good for me. Maybe because she's working as well, she can't take off that week. So now y'all, one, y'all agree that we're gonna go. Two, now we have to agree on when we're gonna go. And there may be other things you agree on. This is what we're talking about, how marriage works. Doesn't matter who initiated this trip or the idea of this trip, we agree that this is something we're going to do. You'll see more about this type of thing when we talk about again in our book on the ingredient about communication. So you see this uniqueness of marriage when it comes to being as one flesh, and I only scratched the surface. It's very unique because there are certain things that you will do as a husband, you will do as a wife, y'all will do as husbands and wives, that the only reason that and only explanation you can give for why you do it, why you don't do it, why you allow it, is that you're married. You know, why do you allow? Somebody may say, why do you allow her to say those things to you? That's my wife. They may not in and of themselves be vulgar or bad, but it's just something that some people say, man, I know you would never have nobody say that. No, nobody else can. My wife can. Nobody else can. She said, yeah, but my husband can. My husband can challenge me on certain issues. I would not allow anybody else to do that. But that's my husband. Now, along with that, like I said, these issues don't work in just a vacuum. He's not going to do anything like that, one that would embarrass you publicly. The thing that he challenged, he may present it, and nobody's perfect. He may have made the mistake of saying it in front of somebody. And again, it doesn't have to be something bad, okay? But it's something that y'all maybe should have discussed first, been they brought up, and this may not be the time and place to do so, but it's out there. Okay. Again, we're not perfect. And, you know, so you may make a mistake and do something like that. But the key thing is when you're united in marriage, there are certain things that being married is the only explanation you'll have for why you do it or why you don't. And that's fine because you are together in that agreement. There may have been things you've done for years as a man or as a woman, but now as a husband, as a wife, you say, well, that's no longer something that is good for us. I may have gone every year on a trip for single folks. I'm married now. That's not a trip for me. I may have been going to different places where the whole theme was revolving around how singles conduct themselves. Can't do that now. Okay. And shouldn't do that now. I'm no longer single. And it's like I said, these are just scratching the surface of certain things. So, coming back to these issues of having even marriages under contract and dictating how and what we're going to do during this contractual time. Don't you see that as superseding beyond what God has already said marriage is? See, we are under the conception that, okay, we're getting married. This is something that we're doing instead of something that we are entering into. Let me make this clear. Marriage is like, it's like we are entering into this place, into this building, into this, whatever you want to call it, that's already there. It's set, it's established, it's there. And when we come in through this one door, we come in there, and when we go through that door, okay, we entered in through that door as man and woman, a man and a woman, okay, and when we leave out of there, we enter out as husband and wife. And what happened in between there is we agreed to abide by certain laws that God has established in this thing. Now remember, it's there. We entered into it. It did not enter into us. And when we came in there as that person who was officiating over this ceremony, they're letting us understand certain things that we are agreeing to do as we have entered into this marriage, as we are entering into this union. That we need to understand that, and that needs to be maybe probably needs to be instructed more for those who are either getting married or those who have even already entered into marriage to understand that you have entered into something that God has already established, as we saw even from the first marriage. Not just leaving mother and father, those people who are supposed to be most important in our lives, but we forsake all others. No one comes above your wife. No one comes above your husband. Another unique thing about marriage. No one comes above that union that y'all have. No one does. Yeah, you make people say, well, mom, she invites herself over, she comes over. Mom has to understand. Yeah, she will come over to my house whenever she wanted. She would come over to my house and go over it with a fine-tooth comb. You need to dust here, you need to fix that, you need to get rid of this, you need to do that. She fine, I say with mom, she would come over to my house and do that. But I have a wife now. You cannot just come over unannounced and plan to stay here like that. You can't do that. She should know that. But sometimes parents need to be reminded, need to be instructed in certain things. You cannot treat me like you always did before. I have a wife, or I have a husband now. No one comes above them. Oh, honey, I gotta, me and your father, we want to go send such a prayer. I need you to come by. And the house said, you're married now. And you want me to leave my house to come spin over your house. Or I can tell you what, I can come from time to time. I can come different parts of the day, but I just cannot come and stay there. I used to do that. Leave my apartment or where I was living to come stay in yours, but I can't do that now. I have a husband. I can't just leave my husband and stay with you. And he's not willing, or to come and stay, leave our house and stay. It's, unless we agree that this is something, again, well, I'll tell you where marriage comes in. Unless y'all agree that, okay, well, yeah, we'll pack up our house. We live in a pretty good neighborhood. We got a good support system. My brother can stay over, or your cousin can stay, or whatever way arrangements y'all have. But the key thing is, y'all have to agree. You see where the marriage comes in? Y'all have to agree, because it is no longer just her. It is no longer just you. It is now y'all who are becoming one. Y'all are who are united now. The decisions that affect both of you discuss, you agree on. Again, with the scriptures, how in the world can two walk together unless they agree? All of this goes hand in hand with being married. We agree to do these things. Okay, we agree. This is part of the uniqueness of marriage. So when someone says that we're going to enter into a contract, we're going to establish a law, you tell me you're trying to reinvent the wheel. You're trying to rewrite that which God has already written. He's already told you when you came into this union, when you agree to come into this union, this is what you're agreeing to come into. You're agreeing to come in to a union that will have you unite as one. You're agreeing to come into a union which you would not allow anyone. I don't care if that person represents an organization, is a family member, whoever, anyone to take precedent over your mate. No one does. No one does. And we have to understand that. When you have agreed that you would love each other, now watch this. As love your husband, love your wife, you better understand what you're saying. In Corinthians, the first Corinthians, the 13th chapter, even in the first 8 verses, do you realize that there are 16 attributes of love expressed right just in that passage of scripture? And we are expected as husband and wives to express those attributes of love to each other. When you say, I love you, you're saying, yes, I love you. I agree to be patient with you. I love you. I agree to be kind with you. I love you. I agree not to be envious of you. I love you. I'm not going to go around boasting about me. About me, it's us now. We speak about us. Okay. I love you. I'm not going to, again, as we mentioned earlier, I'm not going to dishonor you in front, especially in front of others. I'm not going to do that. How come you wearing that dress? Why are you wearing that hat? Why are you? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. You may be wearing a garb that I don't like. I may be wearing something you don't like. You let me know that. There's no way in the world, as the world will say, put you on blast like that in front of people. That's not showing love. That's not the type of love I should be doing. I love you. I'm not going to just seek my own. What makes me happy? What gives me popularity amongst people? I'm not seeking anything just for myself now. What I want to do is going to be about us. And I would have, go right back to what we said earlier, I would have communicated that with you before I've done that. I would have communicated with you. Because it affects you. How in the world can I do something that affects you without letting you know about it? That's not being courteous. It's again one of the ingredients that we have in our relationship book. I have to be courteous. Okay. And like I said, these are just some of the attributes of love mentioned in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And we are expected to express all of them. Not just some of them, not just a few of them, all of them. All. So you're saying, wow. I've had one couple that I was officiating over there, wedding. And when I was counseling with them, the female told me, no, I'm not gonna say that I'm going to honor, obey, and I'm not gonna submit until I explained to her what those meant. And her eyes opened up. I mean, you expect me to do this, that, and that, and all you're saying that he has to do is love me. But when I explained to her what this love meant, she was like, oh my goodness, that's a lot. You know, that's what part of our job is, you know, as we teach others. And this is what it is. So why, again, are we coming up talking about we are designing a contract? We have to write our own vows. We have to do that. The Lord has taken, you know, great wisdom in choosing how we are to conduct ourselves as husbands and wives, you know. And there's so many other things in marriage and the reasons why we marry. People are saying, again, as we mentioned earlier, well, I want to be able to do certain things and not do certain things, you know, but I want God's okay on whatever it is, whatever it is we are choosing to do. Beloved, listen. The Lord is not happy. Not happy. We get up and try to change that he's already done. For even in his word in Proverbs, he says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. He who finds a wife didn't say go out and find a woman. I said a wife. One who's willing to be united. Did y'all hear what I said? Do y'all know the difference between adhesion and cohesion? I'm not trying to teach science now. When two things join together, they are cohesive. But when one just aligns itself to the other thing, that is adhesion. But you become cohesive. When you're married, you become cohesive. You all merge together. Okay. And he says, so he says, he who finds a wife, someone that is willing to be joined with him, somebody who understands that she should be a part of him, just as he is a part of her. I hear a lot of people that only look at it one way. Well, she does this to him. She's joined by him. Yeah, but we are joined together. That's the uniqueness of marriage. We are joined together. We become cohesive. That's unique. And being that way, there is no separation. There's no separation here. We become one now. We become one. And this is unique. We become one. Yes, in our flesh, you say, whatever, you become one in your thoughts and all of that. Well, that's a deeper subject than here. You know, that's what we are saying. That's what a lot of people say. Okay. But we, you know, the key thing, and I can go deeper with this if you want to, you know, because it's all predicated on the word of God. So we both have already this, you know, agreed before we became husband and wife that we were already united in the Lord. So again, that's another discussion for others. Because you say, well, you try to tell me everybody that's married have to be Christian. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Am I saying they should be? Of course, that's what we're about. You know, I would love that to happen, but I'm also understanding the reality of that. And so the Lord. Okay. And the same 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, read that from from the beginning. Okay. But I'm just gonna pull up, read a portion just from the 10th and 11th verses, where it says, to the married, I give this command. Now this is Paul writing, but he said, but not me, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And then he said, and a husband must not divorce his wife. God have joined you together. You have joined came together in a union that God has sanctioned. And y'all made certain agreements. Your vows were not just to each other. You made these vows in the sight of God, vows that He has sanctioned. Now, God doesn't tell us that you have to promise me to do such and such. That's your choice. But if you make that choice, He expects you to keep it. He expects you to keep the vows that you make. If you say, God, I'm going to do this, well, you said that you're going to do that. I didn't ask you to do that, but since you told me you would, I expect you to keep it. Okay, when you agreed to come together and to be together as husband and wife, these are parameters that I have set. This is what God has said, letting us understand. No, I don't need you to come in and rewrite. I don't need you to come in and add anything. What I have is solid. It's simple and it's solid. That's all you need, because it covers everything that y'all will need. Because what it also does, it brings me into your union. I will hold it. This is my word. What I have established, and you agree to do what I am saying, I will support it. If I'm with you from the beginning of your union, I will be with you through it, and I will see you to the end of it. You start off with me, and I will finish with you. This is what God is assuring us. This is what God is promising us. Not because we are so good, not because we are so obedient, not because we, because this is what He has established. Now, when you come into this union, this is what I will do with you, to you, through you, for you. My word abides in you. This is what I will do. This is what God is showing us. This is, you say, whoa, wow, just because of marriage, this is what makes marriage unique. This is your uniqueness of marriage. Not something that you just agreed to do for a time. But I've joined, I don't want any man to cast aside. I don't want any man to pick away. No, I don't want anybody to do that. You know, this is what God is letting us understand. So, beloved, when we talk about relationships, marriage is so unique that yes, it warrants a complete, not just section. Books, many books are written on marriage. There are so many people who think they have the answer, when the answer is already presented to us. It's already there. Just do it God's way from the beginning. And you got God's approval with you from the beginning. And you say, well, do it his way, I'm giving in to what? Love? Any expressions of it? How you supposed to treat each other in this union? And he addresses the issues that we bring up because a lot of us don't know. You say, well, I got a thousand different issues. No, you don't have a thousand different issues. I can tell you that right now. If you sum them up and get to the root of all of them, it's only going to be a handful. And guess what? That handful is what is covered in the Word of God. You see, he does this, she does that. Why do they do it? Get to the root of the problem. And I guarantee you, it's only going to be a handful of issues that are covered in the Word of God. So yes, marriage is important. Those people that are saying is marriage necessary today? Well, I guess it depends on what you want or what you think you're able to accomplish through marriage. I mean, some people have the illusion that marriage simply means, okay, you got two people living together. Well, if that's what you have, guess what? You don't have a marriage. If you got two people living together, you don't have a marriage. That means you have not merged. You are not becoming one. And to do that means you are committed to the ways and the word of God. So, and this is one of the few things I can think of where you said, okay, well, these folks are not Christian, they are not that. But if you're entering into this marriage, into this union, the only union, again, that God has sanctioned, here are his rules. Now, if you tell me you're willing to enter into this union using God or his representative, one of his ministers, to say the words that he has approved of in sanctioning this union, well, this is it. Now, if you're saying that I will marry, I will take this woman to be my wife, and I will do this, 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 and this. I will take him to be my husband. I will do this, 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 and that. These are the rules. A lot of people would say, well, we want to use our own vows to express our love. No, you want to use your own vows because you're not really willing and ready to commit to what God is saying you should do in this union. I'm just speaking like it is. You may not agree with me. And that's fine. But this is one of the problems that man has and has had from the beginning, not wanting to do it God's way. This was Satan's problem. I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. And we see how that's worked out for him. God has a plan, beloved. God has a plan. And because he, if nothing else, because he is perfect, because he is all good, everything that he plans is going to be perfect and all good. Why do you think he tells us that all things work together for those who love the Lord? And then he tells us, if you love me, of course, you'll keep my commandments. I'm just keeping it very simple because I have a plan for you. I have a plan for your life, God is saying. You want to enter into marriage together? Okay, I have a plan for you. If you do this this way, this is what I will do. I'm in this with you. This is what God is saying to us. Yes, marriage is unique. Do you think marriage is necessary today? If you want God to be in your union, how important is the word of God to you when it comes to marriage? If you want him in this union, yes, it is necessary. He told us because we are married. He said marriage should be honored by all. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, it should be honored by all. The marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Again, because we are married in the commitment that we had towards each other. There's going to be nobody else on the north side, the south side, the east side, the west side. There's not going to be anybody else. Why? Because you're going right back to the beginning. No one comes ahead between you and your mate. That's number one. Now you might say, well, we got an open marriage. Well, you don't have a marriage. How can, if there's three of you involved or more, where is the cohesion? Where is the, okay, marriage? Where is the bonding together of two? It's not no three of you bound up like that. It's two, husband, wife. Not husbands, wives, husband, wife, two. That's way God has it ordained. Now you say, well, I don't want to really want to do that. Then you don't want to enter into the marriage that God has established. You want what you want. You want what man has established. Then this is a whole different conversation. This is not your conversation. If you want to do things the way God has established, yes, this is what you want. This is what you agree to. It's plain. Now, some of you are saying this as I'm getting ready to end this. Some of you are saying, I don't like this. I don't like these rules. I want God to be in our marriage. I want his approval. But I don't think I agree with all of this. Guess what? It is what it is. This is what God has said. Now, you don't realize it, but you may be becoming part of those people who say, I want to add this to our vows. I want to take that away and put this instead. Well, you're rewriting what God has already written. You're right back to what we said earlier. God said, this is what I have. If you want it, here it is. I come with this package. Once you start adding and taking away, you're adding and taking me away. This is not what I established. You don't want me in it. But if you want me, here it is. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. Here's the rules. Here are the guidelines. Here are the promises. Okay. All of these things come in the package that you are entering into, that I am presiding over. Or there may be somebody that stands there, and officiates. But this is what he, is going to stand before you and say, that which I have written, this is what God is saying. How important is the word of God to you when it comes to marriage? How important is the word of God to you? Not what everybody else is saying, but what thus says the word of God. For further discussion, y'all know how to reach us. Okay. And I'm willing to go further and answer whatever questions I can. And if there's something that I don't know right off, I'm going to do just like the word of God says. We're going to reason together. We're going to talk about it because the answers are in this word. And we'll find it together. If it's something that I just don't know, or I haven't, I don't remember, we'll look into the word together. We'll do that. Or I'll look into it if I need to and come back and get back to you. I'm not going to take forever to do that. No, I'll be right on it. God bless you, beloved. May heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. We pray, Lord, that what we have said has been acceptable in your sight. We pray, Lord, that you have imparted to us the wisdom and understanding to rightly divide your word. And Lord, for those who still have questions and thoughts about the idea about marriage, we pray, Father, they will seek you. Seek your word, seek your way in this matter. And if you bless us, Lord, to be able to be a part of what makes this an understandable topic for them. Praise your name. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, and praise you, and pray that even as we continue in this day, Father, we continue it, Lord, living and walking in your spirit, governing ourselves in such a manner that even the world will be able to look at us and see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our life living. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.